Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Happy Tuesday to all of you. Thank you for joining me on the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I have so much information. You're definitely going to love this show. But before I bring on our guests, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And why would you? We have so much information. We have wonderful guests. You learn, I learn. I spend every show taking notes. We make introductions. Go ahead and share this show. Now I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. Our first guest, we met with him yesterday. We had such a great time. We shared so much information. We said, you have to come back. I want to go ahead and introduce Dr. Zayed Abdul Karim. He's a consultant, trainer, mentor. He's transformational. Good morning, Dr. Z. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am good and grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be back here today. And we talked yesterday about, the whole pandemic situation, and we shared about how when this thing started, I had been in a kind of a dark place. And I kind of came out of it because I was looking for some solutions. It's funny in life when you ask different questions, you get different answers. And so I'm on this mission right now around resilience, helping us move out of our loss and our fear-based energies into more love-based energies, faith, truthfulness, sincerity, productivity, and mutual cooperation. So happy to be back here today.
Happy to have you. You have so much information. I didn't even have an opportunity to go over it all. So I'm like, we have to talk more. One of the things that stood out to me was we were going in one direction. We were talking about your book, and I definitely want to talk about your book today. But then you gave us the personal insight of your story. And like you said, the dark days, and there were specific things and specific actions that you took to pull yourself out of those dark days. And you gave us 2 days, the last 2 days. Yesterday, we were in acceptance. I was taking notes. Prior to that, we were in mercy. So where are we today? And tell us a little bit about that, please, Dr. Z.
Where are we today? Beautiful. So I wrote this ebook, Return to Happiness in Uncertainty. And today is the day of connection. And I'd like to share a message for us here, real quick. Yes. So connection, right? The opposite energy, the fear-based energy is separation and isolation. And that's what we've been experiencing since this pandemic. It seems to just keep going on and on and on. So our human nature is connection. And the one God breathed into us of his spirit, and we are one soul. We're created from one soul. We are one humanity. We are one creation. And we are, what to say, one nation under God. So separation is not our true reality. But in order for us to really connect, the first thing we have to do is be conscious of the Creator. Being conscious, being consistently in touch with divine guidance, especially nowadays, because there's so much stuff that's coming at us. It's all around the environment. So this consciousness, remembering and being grateful to the one who created us and gives us everything. Every day we get more mercy, we get more love. Secondly, it's being human conscious. We've been so far into race conscious, gender consciousness, sexual orientation consciousness, money consciousness, age consciousness, and all these things take us away from seeing ourselves as human beings. And when we become human conscious, we get out of our selfishness into selfless service and asking empowering questions like, how can I help? What skills and talents do you have that you can produce something that's serviceable, useful, reconciling the situation we're in begins to bring things more into harmony? And asking people about their interests and their concerns, and then serving them. And that's how we maximize our connection. Because when you help other people, you're actually helping yourself. So that's where we are today. And then we encourage you to affirm an I am connection. You can write it 15 times, say it 15 times out loud like you mean it. I am connection, right?
Yes.
You know, bring that spirit into, because it's the emotion that triggers us into action. If you can feel that energy, then what you'll find is that as you go throughout the day, there's going to be more things that you connect with. It's going to come back to you because what you send out comes back. That's the law. And I'm just thrilled right now. I'm tingling right now to be able to share this with you.
Yeah, preach, Dr. Right? Z.
I can feel it. I can feel it. I feel like we having some church up in here today. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. We going to come back to you, Dr. Z. I want to go on to our next guest. And you know, everything Dr. Z has, I can just tell by his face that he is glowing and wants to share his story. But before he shares his story, I'm going to go ahead and share a little bit of my story and how I met this gentleman. And I will try to keep it short and I will try to keep from crying. But it was July 4th, 2019. I had just lost a dear friend of mine. He passed away and all of a sudden I felt his spirit with me. And then I clearly heard a voice say, "Do you believe in angels?" in my head. And it was so weird because in my life, I had never thought of, do I believe in angels? Do I not believe in angels? To me, that would be like asking, do I believe in a house? Do I believe in a car? Do I believe? It just is. But I heard it, do you believe in angels? And I felt this presence with me. And then I said to myself, I said, if you're here, give me a sign. And all of a sudden, I heard a bing. And I looked and it was my email notification. And I said, that wasn't a sign, that was an email. And I opened the email and the subject line of the email was, do you believe in angels? And it was this young man's team telling me that I had to meet this man. And that man is Mr. Keith Leon S. In his book, he's published multiple international bestsellers. I had the honor and the privilege of meeting him in person at a book signing. He brought Dr. Z into my life. This man will change your life. Please follow him. Keith Leon, good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Man, I've heard you tell that story a few times and I still, every goosebump stands up when you tell that story, because I love the way God's spirit, universe, angels work in our lives, and we just can see evidence of them when we're focused on seeing evidence of them. So you asked, right? You just talked about asking a question. Z just talked about asking questions, and I noticed that all the questions that he was asking are quality questions. And that's what I believe, that the what shows up in our lives and what we manifest and what we have in our lives is based on the quality of our questions. And so asking questions that you really want the answer to is the key. And then, and I know you know all about this, I teach sit, ask, and listen. A lot of us sitting, a lot of us asking, but when do we really listen long enough to get the answer to the question that we asked? If you're like me, and I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs watching this show, I got shiny object syndrome. I had for years, you know, I would ask a question and then something shiny would come up and I would forget all about the question that I asked. But what I learned was a discipline of sitting and then asking and then staying in that one question till I received the answer, either staying sitting, eyes closed in meditation, or if I have to get up and go out into the world, I just spin the question like a mantra over and over again, as much as I can remember to ask it until I receive the answer. And that's the key to getting answers to questions asked from God, spirit, universe, angels, whatever you like to call it. I called it angels for the sake of my book, because it is my life story and how many times angels have showed up to save me, like literally save my life over and over and over and over again. So it was a pleasure to be with you in person and to share my gifts with you as you came to one of the events. And thank you for having me on your one of your other shows and now on this incredible show around here.
Yes, I'm going to hold on to you, Keith. Don't think you're going anywhere. You family now. Like, you are family, you know.
It's my,
And I tell that story because it's true. It never changes. The truth doesn't change. That's what happened. And when things like that happen in my life, I know that's somebody that I need to pay attention to. It's a reason. There's a purpose. And then your book signing was at a friend of mine's house. You know, it's like there's something here that's bringing us together. And I know it's not only your beautiful spirit and your beautiful wife, but your beautiful message. You mentioned what you focus on, the sit, ask, and listen. But one of the things that blew me away about you when we met in person is you shared an experience of, you know, because you said we may not listen or we may not ask. But I think part of the problem is we don't sit long enough. Like you shared an experience where you literally sat for a long time.
2 weeks, yeah. During a book project, I asked one question and I sat in the silence doing nothing but eating, going to the bathroom and if something was like an emergency for 2 weeks waiting for the answer. But when I received the answer 2 weeks later, it was a full process of how to ask all these incredibly famous people to be in my book and using what I downloaded. And I mean, it was coming through like I'm possessed. I was just writing it down and doing exactly what I was told to do. I actually got 68 out of 80 people that I asked, 68 said yes to being in the book. And of the 12 no's, 10 of the no's were the publicist, not the actual person. So I only got two no's out of asking 80 people, famous people, right? People you would know to be in my book. And those two people, the only reason they said no is because they have a wall up and they weren't willing to be as vulnerable as I was asking them to be in the book. So for me, it felt like 80 for 80. And I had never done anything in my life where I got 100% enrollment ever. So that's when I was really knew I was onto something. And I said, oh, this is what I'm doing the rest of my life. listen. And sitting, like you said, until I get the answer. That's become my practice.
It's a marvelous practice. I love it. And tell you, I love your backdrop. I love your shirt. I love your smile. I love your backdrop. Like, this is wonderful. I love my life. I always say that as well. People get me. They're like, stop saying that. But tell us about your book and your background.
Well, Walking with My Angels is a true story of my life. And then interspersed in my life story, I'm kind of asking you questions to probe and get you involved and activated in the book. So it's not like a self-help book where there's tips and tools and things for you to do at the end of the chapter, but just when you think you're in the middle of a novel, boop, I'll bring you in and ask you questions. And so the book, really my favorite part of the book is when I was in my early 20s and I had a literal earthbound angel. So not somebody who does good deeds, but literally a person that was an etheric angel who became a walk-in, dropped into a body, and is now assigned to certain people. And this angel was assigned to me to take me from believing in nothing to believing in everything. And then once he revealed that to me, said, at some point I will save your life. At some point I will reveal life purpose to you, your purpose. And once I've saved your life, though, you have to let me go so I can go do it for someone else. And spent about between a year and a half with me, taking me from believing in nothing to everything. And in that, fulfilled the brother role, the mother role, the father role, all the things I didn't have growing up. And saying goodbye to my angel after he had saved my life was truly one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life.
Wow, so many more questions for you, Keith. So many more questions, but I want to hop over to our next guest who I can just tell by his face. He's been looking and waiting because, again, if you recognize his face, his name, his mission, he's been on the show before. We're going to introduce Paul Kotz. He's going to talk to us about his book and how things, everyday miracles happen every day. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Oh, I'm very good, Sharifa. Thanks for the opportunity to be on again. I'm lucky to be with my colleague, Dr. Yvette Pai, who I've learned a ton from working on committees and helping people see their dreams with dissertations. So I'm so happy to see her as well. You know, I didn't really want to talk about the book right away, Sharifa, but thanks for that opportunity. But you know what? It's such a blessing. It's like sometimes, you know, we've never met the people in this group, and yet what Dr. Z was talking about and Keith just mentioned really ties in with where I am in life. And I just want to share this, that you know, I don't know how often we as people see how our lives are moving forward. In the last few years, so much has happened to me, to us and to humanity. And, you know, I don't take enough time to reflect on the power each of us has to lift someone up, hurt somebody, hurt another, change a perspective, cause someone to fall backward, or hopefully we can assist someone around us to move forward. And see, they have this abundant potential that both of you just mentioned earlier, Z and Keith, this idea that we have this abundant potential to make our upcoming years worthwhile. And I mentioned this to Sharifa last time. I don't know how many years I've got left. I might have 10, 20, 30, but I want to make use of that time. And when I was a young man, I don't know if I did that very well. For me, even looking at the 8 years, if you take the number 8 and you turn it sideways, it represents infinity, as you know, or for me, an eternity. And the reality is that time's flying by. And that gift of life is right in front of our eyes. And so I do write in this book, Something Happened Today, which I think, Keith, you and I would relate very well. I believe there are angels out there too. And I have a recent book out called Profiles in Kindness. But regardless, I try to look for stories that I see each day and then I write them down. And I know I have my own lens of seeing it. And sometimes it's looking at it from too much of a positive slant, some people would say, but they say, you really saw this? This really happened? I don't believe people are that good. And I do. Not everybody is at the same level of goodness, but everybody has that kernel of goodness that we have to look for. And I try to see that more so each day I live on this earth. So that's where I'm at. And I like to communicate that. So again, thanks for having me here, Sharifa.
You are welcome. It's a pleasure. I enjoy meeting you. One of the things you shared on the last show was an example of those little miracles that happen every day, a connection that you made in the midst of COVID and then your response and reaction to it. Please share that.
Oh, yeah. Can I go with like current stories that have happened or things that are mine? Yeah. That's the thing. It's like these instant miracles in my mind, you may not consider them that, but I do. And let me share one. So yesterday, a few years back, and the only way I can track this is because if I put something on Facebook, it reminds me that I said this 3 years ago, you know, but here's the deal. My wife, Jan, was at Cub Foods, which is one of our local grocery stores. And she noticed this beautiful girl with her grandmother in the checkout lane. The girl was around 6 or 7 years of age, and she was so helpful and possessed this joyful spirit. And she was taking pride in helping her Nana stock these 3 bags of groceries. All right. Well, Jan, my wife, noticed that the elder was having a bit of trouble getting things together. And she talked to the girl and let her know how helpful she was to her grandma. And she said Jan saw these 2 individuals again sometime later on crossing a busy street on foot. And again, she noticed how joyful the young girl was and how happy she was to be with her grandma. Well, Jan was telling me how she had circled around and she had this McDonald's craving. And there, all of a sudden, there's this torrential rainstorm that hit us. And one more time, she sees these 2 generations of the 2 individuals strong walking down the street in this rain. Well, Jan stopped to see if they needed a ride. And not everybody wants to do that in this day and age. And I get it. But she offered them the ride and they hopped in. And so thankful was that little girl. And in the small talk they had in the car, she discovered that the lady had the same name that she did. And the young lady, her name was Jordan, had made her day. But Jan remarked to me, and these are the things I document, and it may seem so simple to some. She said, I realized then and there how lucky I am just to have a car. We take these things for granted. These individuals did not have a car, but they made the best of what they had in the circumstance. Mm-hmm. For me, that small gesture and story like this one led to a day that made me grateful for what I do have too. So tying in with those, the 2 guests that spoke, to me, that was an everyday miracle. It was like, in this case, it was my wife, but it could have been anybody that was like an angel to them, but they were an angel back to us. The goodness was put out and it came back full at 100%.
That is deep. We're having a show today. I'm feeling the spirit move today. I agree. Keith Leon said that was beautiful. Yes. Dr. Pai, can you follow that? Dr. Yvette Pai is here with us this morning. She's a founder, educator, author, community advocate. Amazing. Also of the Dream Big Institute. Good morning, Dr. Pai. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you so much. And thanks for having me. I really appreciate the platform. No, that's tough to follow, but I have been making some connections. The miracle, I'll work backwards. The miracles that Paul was just talking about, they happen every day, and we have to just be cognizant, aware, to take notice. And I remember, and there are just so many connections. I remember writing in my book from projects to PhD. I do have a book from projects to PhD, Transcending My Geography. Mm-hmm. One of the chapters is dedicated to my miracles. That's what the chapter is named, My Miracles. Mm-hmm. And I recount the many times that I can remember. Now, I'm sure there are times that I don't even recognize that God has stayed the hand of death on my behalf. Mm. I talk about in that chapter and throughout the book, it's not a memoir of my whole life. It's just a memoir of my time in graduate school with the backdrop of my background and how somebody who's least likely got to graduate school in the first place, and then a top 10 tier one university, and then get a PhD in, you know, all that. So there were quite a many miracles that happened to get me to that place. And So I'm just making all these connections. So I realized that also you were talking about stories and how powerful stories are. And they are, and I remember writing the book and then sharing it, and some people actually thinking it was a work of fiction. And fiction is good, but it's memoir right in the title. So I didn't understand why people wouldn't understand your story. I mean, wouldn't accept your story as truth. Mm. And so that has been an inspiration of mine, having people self-author their story and be taken credibly. Sure, there's a place for fiction and you can name it that. But when somebody shares their story with you, honor that enough to believe them. Until they show themselves unworthy of your honor. But I think that's so important, because in so many of the cases, especially in my background, I've been invisible or erased or not recognized. And that does something to the spirit. It does impact you. And coming from the projects, I had to scrape and scramble. So to not have your story honored as true, it's just it's something we could do better for one another. So I'm being better every day. Believe yes. people when they tell you that, you know, this is my experience. Give mm-hmm. them the benefit of the doubt. Learn something from their experience. And that's been one of my practices. Keith was talking about quieting and asking the questions. And that's what we do at Dream Big, is that I heard some talk about, we don't take the time. That's exactly what the Dream Big Institute is about. It's the vision is that all people know their life purpose. And the mission is that we use an asset-based approach to help people persist in strategies to succeed both in the academy, but in life. But in order to do that, you have to get quiet. Yes. And that is a space. The mission is there are some suppositions that we are born with a purpose. Your purpose is discoverable and achievable, and that there is more than one way to succeed. If we don't give our chance that silence to hear from the divine creator what you created me for, then what are we doing? So I've been paused quite often by the miracles themselves, because they'll stop you in your track and you wonder what just happened. Oh yeah, that was a truck that tried to hit you. And then another one. What's trying to destroy you from this earth? You must have something to offer this earth, became my question. What is it? What is it, God? Tell me, if you have stayed the hand of death on my part, and I can count on hands, and the times that I can't, I know that those miracles happen. What is it that I was born? What do you want to have happen in this earth through this vessel that you would protect me like that over and over and over again? So I'm just making so many connections. It's crazy.
Dr. Kwai, you are amazing. That was amazing. I am going to go to our next guest momentarily, but Keith, I see you over there. I know I feel the spirit moving today. This is a show. I always tell people, you know, I don't pick the guests for the day. The guests pick the day and they decide to show up. But look at how everyone showed up today. Look at all the commonalities. But you know what? The thing I've also learned is that everything is about relationships. And so Keith brought me Dr. Z. Paul brought me Dr. Pi. Let me, you know, before I go to Keith, I'm going to go ahead and talk to Jocelyn, bring her into this conversation, because we having some church up in here today. Our next guest is Jocelyn Ross. She's a home buying consultant and podcaster. You are amazing, Jocelyn. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I am just listening and soaking all of this in and realizing that the conversations I literally have, you know, with my journal or just out loud, literally are important, and they are literally adding little gems and more gems to my purpose. And I love that Keith mentioned just sitting still, because I feel like that's the season that I'm in. My birthday is coming up. I just got laid off from my job. So I'm like, okay, God, like, what does this mean? You know, like, instead of me being frustrated and feeling like I'm not worthy, like, obviously this happened for a reason and I know it's going to bless me with something better. I don't know what that better is. So instead of me like filling in the blanks, like I'm just literally sitting still and not trying to fill in the gaps with things to do. So this conversation is really just reaffirming everything that I've been thinking about lately. So I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for being receptive to some of the techniques that are being offered to you today. I tell people a little bit about my story and my journey. Most of that journey started because I was laid off 8 times. But even before I was laid off, I tell people it was because of an argument I had with God. And God told me, he said, Sharifa, I want you to help people. And I said, nope. I'm going to go get this job. It has direct deposit. It's secure. That's what I'm going to do. I get the job. 6 months later, I get laid off. God said, help the people. I said, no, nothing says I love you like direct deposit. Those people, they don't even like me. I'm going to go get a job. So I did this 8 times, right? That's why I can tell people loudly and proudly, I had an argument with God. And at some point, God said to me, he said, what part of I am God do you not understand? And I had to say, I hear and I obey. And you see, I am in service to this day. I spend my time and my life helping people or serving people only because I tried it my way. And that the world fell apart. I lost everything, you know? So I just wanted to share that if you sit and you ask and you listen, the answer will come to you on the purpose. But I do believe, and what I live by, is that the kingdom of heaven is in the servant's hand. So find ways to be of service while you're waiting, and you'll see your blessings come. Everybody's on the soapbox today, I guess. So that was my soapbox. But one of the things that Paul said, which is why I want to come back to Keith, is I heard Paul say, I believe in angels. And when the word belief struck me, because I think, Paul, you know, you are one of those people that probably know more than others. And then Dr. Pi mentioned her experience with miracles and her experience with times angels stepped in to save her life. Keith, respond. I know you have some thoughts.
Yeah, well, I love Yvette was talking about truly listening, right? Truly listening to others. And that's one of the lessons that my angel taught me in the book that you'll read about is he said, you can learn more from listening than you can from talking. And So those of you watching this show today, let us not get caught up in semantics, and then you'll truly hear what everybody is saying on this show. I'm saying angels. I've heard Jesus. I've heard, you know, like you people call it God, spirit, universe, Allah, Jehovah, Yeshua, angels, universe, rock. Like, it doesn't matter what you call it, as long as you call it. And that's the point, right? So we don't get hung up on semantics, and we don't feel the need to be right. That's I think, the human condition that most people have that would be great to be erased, is the need to be right, because right cannot be proved. Right is an opinion. It's a personal opinion, and it cannot be proved, because what's right for me may not be right for you. So when I can throw away semantics, right? And so somebody calls it something, I just go, and? And then I listen to what comes after that, and I can learn so much, so much, when I don't get hung up on semantics. And then I can truly learn when I'm not planning my next answer because I'm trying to be right about what they're saying. If there's no need to be right, then I can listen to what they say, and then I can consider it. I can let that land. And my response to anything anybody ever says to me, be it positive, negative, seemingly negative, someone can come up to me with venom and deliver a message to me with anger, and I will say, thank you for caring enough to share that with me. That's my response, no matter what anybody says to me. And then I take that information, go within, and say, what message was for me in that message that was received? Because everything is for me and nothing is against me.
That's beautiful, Keith. I got to get to that level of enlightenment. I'm still working on me. You know, sometimes I still have the venom, but I'm a work in progress. Dr. Z, I saw you smiling, shaking your head, moving over there. Talk to us this morning, Dr. Z.
Woo! So much. What do I want to say? So there was a prayer I made before we came on today. Can I read it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this comes from one of my leaders, main leader and teacher. And the prayer is, oh God, I cannot manage this life without myself. I cannot manage this life myself without you. Please make my life what you want it to be, what you prefer it to be. Do not allow me to act on my own. Help me to act only in obedience to you, God. And this is what triggered it. We hear and we obey. Forgive us, we are asking your forgiveness. So this notion of hearing, of listening, we've been talking about miracles, we've been talking about being still. You know, I often say, remember they used to play the game Scrabble on Scramble?
I love Scrabble.
Soul Train, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if you look at the word listen and you scramble it, it gives you the key, listening. Anybody know what that word is that's in the word listen? It's
silent.
Silent. There you go. Yes. It's silent. So, you know, God is with us. The angels are with us right now. You know, when we're in a space and we're talking about the Creator from whatever view we have, as Keith says, right? The angels, they descend and they envelop us, and they create this space from the earth all the way up to the heavens. I'm feeling that right now in this conversation, even though we all may be, you know, we may have a different road that we get to go to go to LA or go to New York, right? It doesn't matter. We're all one, and that's really the connection. And I don't know how much time we have, but it's something I want to do. Obviously I want to promote my own stuff, but I also want to promote Keith, because Keith helped me in a lot of ways find my own authentic voice as we met at a training that he was giving a session. But he's also promoting his book today, but he's also a prolific publisher of books. And one of the books that I work with Keith and his team on is this business book, Engagement, Engage, Create Super Performance. If you want to get your book done, look at this beautiful cover. Not only did they help me to get it done, but you see that little symbol up at the top? I don't know if you can really see it, but it became a bestseller, Amazon number one bestseller in the area of sustainable business. And I owe that to God. Congratulations. And I owe that to Keith. Thank you so much. But I'm saying all that to say, this is my trying to support Keith this moment. If you got a book in you and you want to write it the best way, get techniques from the master and his team, then contact Keith Leon S. You speak at book publishing. Correct me if I'm not saying it correct, Keith.
Mm-hmm.
But and not only that, listen to the wisdom, you know, that's coming through. Yeah.
Thank you.
Everybody on this call. This is an awesome group.
Yes.
Here. It's all one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua, you feeling it? You're feeling the room? The room is filled for you. You asked. You was like, what I need to do, Lord? And we all showed up.
Inside of me. But now I'm inspired just hearing everyone's story and how you like authentically tell it. Like, I'm very inspired. And I'm just, like I said, just the reaffirming that I'm literally right where I need to be. And I feel like things will unfold, like you said, like you listen and then that turns into silent. Like, those words are the same for a reason. So yeah, this is very good. Very good conversation.
Mm. Paul, I see you over there smiling.
Yeah, my wheels are spinning. I have to say, you know, one of the great blessings I've had, we work in a doctorate in leadership program in the Twin Cities, and Dr. Pai is one of those people that I have a quote from someone that I really admire and respect. Her name is Allison McGee, but if I recall it right, she says that every moment of every day, you can bring people down or you can lift them up. You, one small person, by the energy you project. And you can tell by this panel, that's what you do. You project very good energy and you want to see positive change. The thing that Allison McGee said, and I think Dr. Pai does this so well, and when I do have my low moments, I do try to project a positive stance in my life, and it helps me to get through days that are challenging. But she makes a conscious effort to choose what her life is meant to be and what she wants to leave behind for her family and colleagues and so on. So we have the power to write our own stories, is what Allison McGee said. But I think that Dr. Yvette Pai does that so well. And, you know, there hasn't been a lot of discussion about John Lewis. You know, we see what has gone on in the media, but can I share one small snippet of something I wanted to reflect on about that man?
Yes, we're sharing today.
Okay. One of the things that I found in 2016, he said in terms of leadership, and that's what we do in our program, we shouldn't divide people. We shouldn't separate people. To this day, this group doesn't seem to want to do that. We want to come together, but we've got plenty of people that still want to divide. And I continue to hope we trust one another and build each other up and come together as a nation. You know, we know that separation, it happens in our families, among friends, and especially those who we may not see eye to eye with, or we perceive as adversaries, right? But when bridges are blocked, you know, there's this implicit fear, I think, that builds and it continues. But where they're built, you have understanding, you have acceptance, and that can all flourish. And, you know, possibly even fear can diminish, as many of you have said. Well, when John Lewis crossed the bridge in Selma for the last time, physically and symbolically, for me, it was a message, again, a constant reminder, another reminder that we can fully embrace and build bridges with one another and cultivate as a nation with the rest of the world, which I don't always think we do so well. I still trust we're capable, and I'm hopeful, and I continue to stay hopeful that we can live as the United States. And Lewis believed it could happen, and he was, to Keith's point, an active, conscientious listener. I'm hoping we can make it a reality for our time on Earth. You inspire me to bring up Lewis based on this group's discussion. So thank you for that.
You are welcome. Thank you for that. Dr. Pai, your thoughts?
Yeah, thank you, Paul, for the high compliment. And coming from you, it is indeed a high compliment. about you know, the power of sharing your story. And one of my teaching philosophies is that we all have something to learn from one another. And I don't think that we take that serious enough. You know, we seem to look for others' validation, but somebody right next to you could be that angel you're talking about. You know, it can be that person Dr. Z talked about that will come along and share their talent or share with you a story. Paul, in your instances, share with you a story, and then that story becomes light to somebody. I just believe in our collective power. And you mentioned the Honorable Lewis and him going home. It's sad, but you know, he left such a legacy and taught so much. If we would look and listen and study the lessons, he did believe that we could do this. He's not the only one, but he's one of those people who thought that we could overcome. And I believe with our collective power, there's nothing we can't accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know where that comes from.
Yes, but, so you're talking and I'm looking at the picture behind you and I'm like, you're saying we can overcome, and all I'm hearing is we shall overcome in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. And I just, that collective power wakes me up every morning. It keeps me going. And I was in a sad place. I can relate, Dr. Z, after George Floyd was so viciously murdered. I remember being in this dark place because I have Black sons. I have a Black husband. And my world is wrapped in these Black men. And Black women are not off the menu either. And so I just felt like, God, what? And he just, again, remember that, remind me to look and listen and be silent, and to obey is better than sacrifice. And I'm just, okay, no, just laser focus, because that is enough to take you out and drown you. And I had to peak of ray of hope, and I had to get out through that ray of hope, because it indeed has been a dark time for a lot of us. So I'm hoping that we can remember that we do have a collective power, and with that collective power, there's no challenge we cannot meet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
My angel told me we're all masters pretending to be students.
Mm, that's writing that down.
That's what you just put words on a few minutes ago. You know, that person sitting next to you, when you have the need to be right, you won't hear the knowledge that they just dropped if you're not willing to truly listen to your brothers and sisters. Because even, you know, God sends messages in the strangest ways. My wife and I were down by a lake, and it was like a holiday. And we just asked if we could join a couple people that were clearly drunk and, you know, smoking cigarettes, smoking weed, and the whole deal. And we joined them. And this one guy who was like barely coherent started talking to us. And in between his incoherent ramblings, he would just all of a sudden, this like the deepest wisdom sentence, soundbite would come through. And then my wife and I would look at each other and go, whoa. And we would ponder that and consider that as he continued to ramble in complete gibberish. And then the second that we looked at each other and went, and that landed, boom, came another one. And in this clearly drunk and high, rambling, babbling on, man, we got a number of really, really profound messages. And had we had just went, just drunk and like ignored him and walked off and did our own thing, we would have missed what we learned that day.
I love you and your wife. You guys are so beautiful. I was about to go in a different direction with Maura, but I wanted to say this. When you spoke this time, you had this kind of angelic guru kind of vibe going. And I'm like, he changed his background. Like, okay. And that reminded me of art, which again, reminded me of your wife. Cause like her pieces are so amazing and so beautiful. And I'm one of those people, I love power couples. You know, everyone doesn't call it a power couple. I love love. I love marriage. I love happy. You guys are just so cute to me.
Yeah, at my live events, she can feel energies and captures it. And so she captures the energy of the room and the collective, everybody that's in the room, and then she paints it. And then at the end of the end of the, I was going to say service, because it really is at the end of the live event, then she holds up the digital art that she created, and everybody in the room's just like, and it's wild, because when she first started doing it, she was like, am I making this up, or is this really happening? And Brian Tracy was speaking, and then she was painting behind him, and somebody was going in their head, love, 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 because they wanted to see if she was telling the truth, love, love, love. And what she told me she received was paint a heart. And she's like, oh, that's so pithy, I can't do that. Paint a heart. Okay, she paints a heart, and the person in the audience went so loud. And so I interrupt Brian Tracy, I go, excuse me, I'm sorry, put words on that. And then that person said, oh my God, I was sending love, 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 love. And then she painted a heart. And then Brian Tracy's like, and see, that's how it works. And then went on with this talk. And so it's amazing that everything is energy. And when we're open to receive, there's nothing that we cannot receive.
Absolutely. And Jocelyn is open to receive. Why don't you send her some energy towards some thoughts of publication? She may have a book inside her from a, you know, from a publisher's perspective. What mm-hmm. What can you tell her?
Ooh, you just starting out? You're at like, I'm thinking about it stage?
Yeah. All right. I mean, as I listen to you all, I'm like, wow, like, yeah, I have some miracle moments in my life as well that I never stop to literally like think about. Like, I might journal about some of them, but like Dr. Pai said, like, some of them you don't even recognize as miracles, or like God literally blocking you from the worst case scenario because he's literally not done with you yet and your purpose hasn't been fulfilled. So yes, yeah. I'm open to receive.
Yeah. The quickest way that I could tell the process is like, start with a blank page or an open Word doc and say, if I was going to write a book, what would it be about? And as the sound bites come through, they're chapter titles, really what they are. But as they come through, you just write them down and just catch them until you go, is that it? Okay, cool. And then you call that done for now, right? And then you just take and you say, like, so which chapter would be first? Put a one next to that. Which would be second? Put a two next to that, and put a number next to all of them, and then put them in order. And then so now you have your chapters and you have the order that they would be in. And then this is called the roadmap to success. And then once you decide to start writing it, there's really only two rules. And one is, you go, which chapter wants to be written first? Because now that you did that work, they don't have to be in chronological order. Mm-hmm. Right? You can start anywhere, and you want to start with the easiest. So which one wants to jump to be first? And it'll jump out, me, me, me. And you'll go, all right. So you write that chapter until you complete it. Stay in that chapter until you complete it. Then once you complete it, cross it out, come back and say, who's next? Another chapter will jump out. And you repeat that process, always completing the chapter, always doing the one that feels the easiest. And sooner or later, you'll come back to get another chapter, and there won't be any. Because you didn't do what most people do and start at the top with number one. What if number one was something heavy, and you had to look at some stuff, or you had to do some work to write that chapter? You would do like most people do and go, forget it, and push it away and never write. Right. So when you start with what's juicy and what you're feeling, and you could write in your sleep, and then you do that a couple of times, you start to get this thing called momentum. And that's where that's a person that finishes a book. They start with momentum, always writing the one that feels the easiest. And at some point you'll come to that heavy and you'll go, I think I'm ready. And then you'll write that one. Yeah. And now, anything I can do to support you too, let me know.
Okay. Now, I feel like, I'm assuming for most of your stories as well as mine, like, there are certain people that really impacted that story, whether negative or positive. Like, how do you infuse them in a way that's safe for them and also just safe for yourself?
I write them originally, if it's something that would lift them up that I'm writing about, then I'll write it with their name in it. If it's something that maybe not so much, then I would change the name. I might change a little circumstance here and there. And then I would check in with that person and say, even the person that it would lift them up, like with my ex-wife, right? I had written her name in, but then I connected with her and said, hey, would do you want me to use your name? And she said, no, I prefer Rebecca. So for the sake of my book, my ex-wife's name is Rebecca. Right. Everybody who knows me personally will know that's not her name, but everybody else in the world will think Rebecca, and it'll never come back to her. So that's one way to handle it.
Excellent question. One of the things that, I mean, I love the way you explained that, Keith. That was beautiful. You know, feel free to take that little snippet, edit it out, use it for your own purposes, because I think that was the key. But I just want to reiterate something that you said that was so key and so important that I want to emphasize it. Get the book out. That's what Keith said. Get the book out. And where I believe, you know, and I published two ebooks, where I believe most people go wrong is they sit down and they say, I would like to write a book. And they start to write a book and they go, you know what? I don't really know how to spell. I don't know grammar. I don't know if this makes sense. I don't know if this is right. So what happens? The book never gets out. It never comes out of them. And so I've learned, and from the people I've spoken to, and Keith, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, this is your industry, but they always say, do the editing last, or have someone else do the editing. Do not edit while you're writing. Just simply get the book out.
Yeah, free form.
Because you lose that thought. You lose that train of thought. You lose that emotion. You lose that feeling, and you try to reconnect, and maybe it's not there. Because like Keith said, when he started writing, it just all came out. Let it come out and let it flow. That's what I would add to it. Any other authors want to add their comments on writing a book for Joshua?
Yeah, I have a suggestion.
Go ahead.
Set a time, let's say 20 minutes a day, at a particular time that you're going to sit down and you're going to write, and just let it flow. Because, you know, by setting a schedule, you're going to build momentum in the process.
Habit.
You know, follow what Keith said. You just got something from the master, and follow that out, that process. But I would say set a schedule for yourself, and you'll be amazed at what'll happen in 30 days or whatever, right, as you go through the process.
That's exactly right. I remember getting through my master's degree and my dissertation the same way. And my husband gave me some advice. He said, somebody told me, if you want to do this, you need to work it like a job. I'm like, work it like a job? He said, yeah, a part-time job. Figure out what block of time you're going to set aside. And because I had young children, it was after they went to bed. So from 10 until 2, I would write from 10 to 2 a.m. That was my time. So that's excellent suggestion. And be impeccable with your word to yourself. If you set that schedule and like Keith said, unless some emergency happened, do that. Do the time that you said you were going to do. If you just spell checking, whatever. If you was checking your references, whatever. If you're just getting that stream of consciousness out, do that. And I use my phone. The next book that I'm writing is one of them is about a dissertation, about the dissertation process. And that's one of the things I recommend, because I've done these workshops for so long, is that consistency is key. Just pick some time. If it's not 4 hours, it's 2 hours. If it's not 2 hours, it's 30 minutes. You know your life. But be consistent, and you will build that momentum. And I just love what Keith said. Tell that story that's begging to say, me first. That one, get down. Just get it down. The other ones will line up and they will come. And you will tackle that bear, because you'll have all the strength and the tools after that. So I think that's all one of the suggestions.
Absolutely. I think this show is a testimony to the fact that I was obedient to what God told me to do with my life. And that was help the people. He always said the people, help the people. So I'm here to help the people find a voice and find a platform for their stories. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and you cannot tell me we haven't had some church up in here today. We had some miracles happen. We had some connections happen. We gonna have Joshlyn back. Go write that book, publish that book, work with Keith, and then you come back and we gonna talk about where you are in your life with your book. But we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And I saw you over there about to say something about the book, Paul. So we're going to go ahead and start with you.
Well, I just want to say it's been a pleasure being on the panel. And You know, time for me goes by so quickly. In the blink of an eye, everything can just change. And I just hope we continue as a society to take time to reach out and to those you love and those that challenge you before you regret it, because people can go so quickly in our lives. So mend those fences, build those bridges, let go of your grudges, and celebrate that past, present, and the time you have together now. I've been really lucky. I reflect on this more so because my mom's 87 and her cognitive abilities are not the best, but she had this bumper sticker on her car, which I still relate to because we were talking about love, and her form of love had a bumper sticker that said, "Women are natural born leaders. You are following one." So when I think of Jocelyn, I think you've got a book in you, my dear, and you look like you've got a lot of guidance from the panel here, but take that time, you know, to find when you best communicate. You know, I find I have to get up at sometimes at 5 a.m. in the morning, I get my best writing, and then I have to go back to sleep. But I take that time. I found that was a great time for me. Anyway, I've got the book Profiles in Kindness just came out in April, and it's been well received, but it's got a certain niche. It's nonfiction, and it's stories of seeing the presence. So thanks for letting me be on today, Sharifa.
You are welcome. You come back anytime. I appreciate you. Jocelyn, we had a whole show just for you. This is all for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity. And Paul, I'm the same way. I get my best work done in the morning. So I think that's when I'll dedicate my time. So I appreciate that. And like I said, I am just so inspired. Like, I love sitting and listening to everyone else's story. And I guess I didn't really tell a little bit of mine, but like Sharifa mentioned, I am a home buying consultant and podcaster, and I'm passionate about helping people to confidently and knowledgeably purchase their first home. So really a lot of what my story is relates to that, and me, you know, failing forward as I purchased my first home. So I want to help alleviate that. And I realized that I've been doing that through my podcast. So I'm the host of Real Estate Prep, which is a weekly podcast that basically prepares home buyers, and I tell my story of purchasing my first home, and then I also have experts on. So thank you so much for this opportunity, and I'm definitely going to dedicate some time to telling my story in a way that's, you know, in a book. So I really appreciate it, and I'm happy to connect with all of you other panelists offline as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. I may have to come sit on your podcast and find out about being a first-time home buyer. I haven't purchased that home yet. So we might need to talk about some ways to make that happen. I appreciate you here being here today. I hope you got something out of it. Dr. Pye.
Well, I just appreciate all of you. I appreciate the platform. So thank you. It's just affirming that I am listening, and I'm hearing, and this energy, this invitation, this is confirmation that I'm doing what I was born to do. And so it took me a while to get here, but all of those things along the way led me here. So I will not despise my small beginnings. And so for the new home buyer, the new writer, the first thing is required is the first step. Dr. Myron Lowe shared that with me. And the second thing that's required is the second step. So just embrace it. And again, connect with some people. I think connections are where our progress really is. So I hope that our collective power will just raise our collective consciousness as well.
I think that is beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Z.
Yeah, thank you for being here with such beautiful souls. Paul, I, Ashlyn, Keith, Rifa. Two things. One is, just want to raise our awareness to the fact that we are always asking for what we want. And I would just say to anybody listening to this, there's some questions that you've been asking. Jocelyn, surely there's some questions you've been asking. And is it possible that you got some answers today?
Yes.
This is how spirit works, right? This is the connection. So part of the thing is, One, being aware of what you're asking for, right? And what you think and what you say and how you feel. And second, reading the signs and then responding to them, right? You know, we've been talking about the listening and the sitting. And I wanted to ask Keith, how do you know that that answer you get is the answer? Because, you know,
we're going to bring Keith back. We're going to bring Keith back for another show. He's going to answer that question.
I just wanted to emphasize, you know, the fact that this connection is so strong that when you ask, an answer is always given. Mm. And it's just a matter of us being aware and then allowing ourselves to respond, obey to what it is, to the signs that come. And, you know, part of why I'm here right now is, again, during this pandemic, having experienced what I've experienced, and knowing that other people are going through the same thing. The stuff that I talked about is what I wrote in the ebook and why I wrote the ebook. People return to happiness and uncertainty. And then there's also the 25 Days to Living Your Happiness book that's available. And it's designed to help us, again, get some relief mentally and emotionally. And so the ebooks are $10. They sell for $10. And I want to offer on this call to anybody that's watching this, you know, to get the ebook, to do the steps, and then offer you a free mentoring call with me that's valued at $500. And so you're going to get $510 worth of value for $10 and taking some action steps every morning to send out that energy that you want to have. Mm-hmm. And that will help you move out of that darkness into the light. And if you're already in the light, then you can want to get more light, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Lighter. So this is my heart. This is what we offer. And the ebook's available. And the paperback book's available at drzhappiness.com/program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Z. We definitely appreciate you. Keith, Leon S., go ahead and take us on out, please.
The first answer is always the right one. It's the second, third, fourth, fifth pesky answer that gets you confused. It's always the first one. To get this book, Walking with My Angels, go to Amazon. It's available in any way that you would like to have it. To get angel support, go to beyondbeliefbooks.com. Everything that you would need to connect with spirit guide angels is right there. And what I would love to leave you with, for those of you that have ever seen me speak anywhere, know what's coming next. And that is that you make a difference on this planet. Truly, this planet would not be the same without you. And people assume that we know that. That we know that we touch their lives. And so the people that are closest to us forget to tell us. And maybe no one has told you for a very long time that you make a difference in this world. You could have saved someone's life today just by smiling and saying hello, because that person didn't feel seen and was going to take themselves out later that day because they thought no one saw them. You make a difference with every breath, every hello, every hug, every message. You make a difference. So for everybody who's forgot to tell you, I want to tell you for them right now, you make a difference. This world would not be the same without you. So thank you for being the gift of you.
That was so beautiful. Thank you for being the gift of you. See, this is why you came into my life. We came into each other's life. That was so beautiful. And together, we brought your message to our viewers. So I want to thank all of our guests for being here today on the Roundtable Talk Show. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in live to watch the show, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. But don't just watch the show. Please go ahead and share the show, support the show. Please contact our guests, visit their websites, follow them on social media, send them a tweet, send them a message, contact them on LinkedIn, whatever you do. But when you speak to them, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.